Hello and welcome to the Doc Talk podcast. I'm Kenny Walter, editor of ACP Live. Vaccine hesitancy is obviously a major problem, but it is especially problematic for immunocompromised patients with IBD. But in the age of COVID, rumors and misinformation can spread on social media, leading to a reluctance to get vaccinated. Recently, investigators from Boston Medical Center found 11.9% of IBD patients were deemed to be vaccine hesitant, with rates higher for minority patients. During the recent American College of Gastroenterology 2021 meeting in Las Vegas, Dr. Howard Herman and Dr. Max Rosenthaler, both of Boston Medical Center, presented the data on the surveys on IBD patients. Both Dr. Herman and Dr. Rosenthaler join me for this episode of Doc Talk to discuss how to improve vaccination rates in patients with IBD. Hope you enjoy this conversation. To start things off, you're presenting a study on a very topical topic during ACG on vaccinations for your IBD patients based on a survey. When looking at such a hot button issue like vaccinations in 2021, is there anything that jumped out at you looking at the results of this survey? Is there anything that really surprised you going in that the results bared out?
Yeah, so I think in some ways it was very much what we expected in terms of seeing more hesitation to get the vaccine amongst underrepresented minority patients who have had such hesitation in the past. And this was the main reason we wanted to do this study, was because a very similar study was done nearby and they had very high rates of vaccination, which was, you know, great to see. But we wanted to make sure that the full spectrum of the population was being captured, especially with the vulnerable patients we see at Boston Medical Center. So that was kind of validating that our results reflected our initial expectations. But one thing that we did find surprising was that we were expecting to also see an impact from patients taking immunosuppressing medications. We hypothesized that those patients would also be more hesitant, given concerns about vaccine safety, interactions with their medications, or things like that. And so we can't say definitively that such an effect isn't there, but the results that we got were not statistically significant. And so it raises the question of whether we would need a larger sample of patients for the effect to be revealed, or if there is, in fact, in this case, a different trend than what had been seen previously. And that would, either way, it warrants additional investigation.
Okay. Now, one of the things that kind of jumps out at me is when you're looking at a group of patients with IBD or with really any disease, do you feel the amount of misinformation and distrust that's out there among the general population? But you're talking about a group of patients that have a gastroenterologist that they presumably trust and see on a regular basis. Do you feel that would help promote the vaccine by having specialists and people with relationships with patients really promote it and hammer home the need for the vaccine. Because it's not just somebody you don't know on TV saying you need to do this. It's someone you trust and regularly visit.
I think, so, you know, part of my role in the research study was I did conduct a lot of the phone interviews. And I think something that our data doesn't necessarily do a good job outlining objectively, but something that I did glean from a lot of the conversations that I had was that a lot of patients, especially patients who are on the fence about the vaccine, had concerns about the vaccine's interaction with either their IBD medications or the pet or their disease itself, their IBD. And a lot of times they would agree to the statement that essentially if their gastroenterologist had a risks and benefits conversation, if their gastroenterologist thought it'd be good for them, that it would, that they would listen to them. So I think you bring up a really great point that is specialists have an awesome opportunity given the sorts of relationships that they can form with patients over time to advocate for getting the vaccine.
Interesting. All right. Do you think the results would be similar if COVID didn't happen? If you took a vaccine hesitancy survey in 2019, when we weren't dealing with a pandemic, do you think the results would be similar? Or do you think COVID maybe, because the vaccine is newer and because it's just became such a political issue, do you think the results would be similar?
That's a great question. I think it's difficult to say. I do think that, you know, vaccines in general have been pretty well studied with IBD patients. And we have seen in the past that such patients are more wary of vaccines than the general population for many of the reasons that we discussed. And then in our study, in some ways, we're seeing higher rates or comparable rates of vaccination or willingness to get vaccinated compared to the general public in our patients overall, but then also the higher hesitancy among certain subgroups. So I think in some ways, the extreme amount of information and urgency that people are conveying is helping to push some patients more towards getting vaccinated, given the sense of, you know, the emergency that, you know, the public and their providers have conveyed. And then also maybe patients who are more reluctant, they're kind of becoming either entrenched in that reluctance or, you know, the overwhelming amount of information that they're getting. And the newness of the vaccine in this case is probably not helping. So I feel like it's a kind of a yes and no, depending on the individual.
Okay, sounds good. Now, this was conducted in one of the most educated cities in the country, in a state that has, I believe, in the top five in vaccination rates. Do you think the results would be even worse in some of these states that we're still hearing about that have such low vaccination rates?
I think so. I think in some of our background research, we looked at other studies that had been done, and not just surveys, but just overall vaccination rates. And from what I could recall, there are many states were having higher levels of disparity between, you know, Caucasians and underrepresented minorities. But I don't remember if there was a specific trend in terms of the disparity. Obviously, different states are having much differing degrees of success in getting patients vaccinated. But I don't remember in particular if there was a pattern to the disparity that we were looking to emphasize. I don't know if Max, if you can recall any.
Yeah, and I don't know from the literature review specifically, but I think in thinking about, you know, whether or not these disparities would be exacerbated based on different geographic regions of the United States. One other thing that I think, in addition to being one of the most vaccinated states, Massachusetts has some of the best access for patients across lots of different social strata because of mass health. So I think because of that, I would expect to see increased disparities specifically along socioeconomic lines in other states that don't have that same access to healthcare. Absolutely. I think that's an awesome question.
I agree.
All right. And I guess, simply put, how important is it for patients with IBD to get vaccinated for COVID-19 and other vaccinations as well?
Yeah, I think incredibly important for a variety of reasons. A lot of people have legitimate concerns about their immunosuppression, perhaps interacting with the vaccination in different sorts of ways. But one of the things that does seem to be occurring is that immunity to the vaccine wanes over time. And that is even more so in patients who are chronically immunosuppressed. So I think in IBD patients and in people with similar disease pathologies, which require chronic immunosuppression, is incredibly important to get vaccinated the first time, as well as to keep updated on what sorts of new recommendations are going to be coming up about frequency of booster shots as well.
Okay. Absolutely. And so far, there doesn't appear to be any data to suggest that patients with IBD or on immunosuppressants are having higher rates of adverse reactions to the vaccine, but there's certainly strong data showing that such patients are at higher risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death from COVID itself. And so agree with Max that given the complexity and the amount of misinformation that it's out there, it's very understandable for patients to have concerns, but that's, you know, a particular point that I'd like to emphasize with them, that, and just also more generally, that there's much higher risk from COVID itself than from the vaccine.
Okay. Now, anytime you do a survey like this, it leads to the question, how do we close this gap? How do we promote the vaccine and get some of this, these holdouts to actually become vaccinated? What can we do to make this happen?
It's a challenging question. I think my biggest takeaway from this study is that there are general concerns that seem to cut across racial, economic, and medical lines, but then also many patients have pretty individual concerns as well, you know, ranging from adverse reactions to vaccines that they've had in the past, or anecdotal stories they've heard, or even things like, I've heard I can get side effects and I don't want to miss, you know, a day of work. And for many people, that's a much bigger impact on their lives than others. And so trying to, you know, it helps to identify populations that need extra outreach in order to get access to and provide education and counseling. But then once making contact with those patients, to be empathetic and try to elicit what their specific concerns are and approach it in a compassionate way, try to alleviate their concerns and not be overbearing about it.
And I think one thing in particular in regards to our study, which did demonstrate that, you know, Latinx and Black patients had higher rates of vaccine hesitancy, I think something to be aware of is that a lot of times, and this was something that also came up in the phone interviews that I was conducting with patients, a lot of times people have legitimate mistrust in medical institutions in general, I think because of the history of racism in medicine. So I think that it's important to also approach every conversation, not from the stance that somebody's just misinformed, but validating that they have like legitimate concerns in the past. And I think it's better to validate those and to start a conversation about, you know, why specifically this might be okay for them, even though they have some legitimate mistrust of medical institutions in the past.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. That's really all the questions I have. Is there any closing thoughts you have on this study or on the concept of getting IBD patients vaccinated, as many IBD patients as we can vaccinated?
I think my major takeaway would be one that you had mentioned before, which is that specialists really do have a large amount of trust of their patients. And I think it's a missed opportunity when a patient walks in the door and people have a lot going on, if you just focus on what's going on with their IBD. I think it's a really awesome opportunity to also think about the other things that have a huge impact on their welfare, like counseling about the COVID vaccine.
Well said. I think also one of the challenges with a study like this is that the pandemic is continues to rapidly evolve. And, as new research comes out, guidelines and evidence is constantly changing. And that's a big challenge for patients, let alone providers, to stay on top of all that information. And so along what Max was saying, continuing to engage with patients and helping them to wade through that sea of information and to provide them with compassionate and empathetic counseling, not directing them to do something, but also, you know, they look to their providers for guidance. And I think in this age where patients are more and more becoming consumers of healthcare, I do think it's important to find a good balance and to provide thoughtful counseling when they seek it.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Also, check out hcplive.com for all the latest COVID and gastro news. As always, thanks for listening.